Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. And we got a great show for you. A great show. I promise you. It's going to be the final show of our senior season, if you will. Because we're talking, well, that doesn't make sense. Not the senior season, the major season. Because we've got the British Open right around the corner as we're doing the podcast. Just a couple of days before the boys tee it up and get ready for the final. We'll see what happens. The British Open to me is always kind of an up in the air because it's such a different venue. It's such a different kind of golf. And if you watched the Scottish Open last week and you saw an unknown named Chris Gutterup win over a lot of better known guys, you kind of see that it's a bit of a toss up a lot of times at these links courses. So anyway, we'll talk about that. We've got a good friend, Paul Stankowski, with the senior tour, the Champions Tour, going to be joining us here in a little bit as well. And I think he's heading over in the same direction because next week they have the ISPS Handa Senior Open, and they're going to be in Berkshire, England. And I think he's playing in that, but we'll find out for sure. So he'll tell us a little bit about his links experience as well. So anyway, great show headed your way. Again, thanks for being with us. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I'm great. Well, let's see. We got the Senior Honda Lexus Budweiser Open. The Senior Open. Okay,
it's
Grandpa.
The Handa Senior Open.
The Handa, yeah. Dr. Handa, H-A-N-D-A, yeah.
ISPS. Everybody's got to get their sponsor name in the title nowadays, don't they?
The Tipikaoka Ticonderoga Open.
And I'm calling it the British Open. You know, I'm a little tired. The arrogance of just saying it's the Open.
You're in some pain. We found out in pre-show. Your lower back is about to kill you.
I'm heavily medicated. I just took a couple of Celebrex. So, yeah, if I start to ramble or drool, you'll know why.
Yeah, Celebrex, shot of scotch, and then a pop of tequila, and you're ready to go.
Yes, I guess.
You're getting on a plane, I understand, this week, and you're heading to Greece?
Yep. I'm going to Greece coming up on Saturday. So, they're playing the final couple rounds.
Bring me back a t-shirt.
I'll be I was in Greece, and this is all I got. Brought back a t-shirt. And then we're going to London for a few days on the way back.
Good for you.
It'll be nice as well.
So, Are you going to have a chance to play any golf on this trip?
No, we were going to plan a couple of the guys that I was going to go with. We're planning to go to Scotland, literally, and play there. And my one friend has played a number of times there. I've never played over there at all. And
really?
So we had it all planned, and we actually put down a deposit to play at, I can't remember the one course. I'll come up with it here in a second, the one that he loves the most in Scotland. And anyway, his schedule changed for various reasons, and it kind of blew up the whole trip for all of us. So no, we're not going to be playing any.
How inconsiderate of him.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in that, but it's okay. It's called King's Barn. Have you heard of King's Barns?
I have not heard
Golf
of that.
Golf Links? Yeah, no. King's Barns. And I've talked to so many people that are like, they'd play there versus St. Andrews or anywhere else you can go. They're like, King's Barn is the place. Oh, okay.
Really? I like RPR.
It should be because it was like $500 to play. So we had to give our deposit like a month ago, and then it got canceled, and they refunded it. It was fine. You've got like, until 30 days before you play or something like that. But anyway, yeah, it was like $500.
A man.
Yes, that'd be nice, isn't it? Per foursome.
For a foursome, yeah, 500. I said, well, that's a deal, you know?
Yeah.
No, yeah, per man. Yeah.
Plus a caddy on top of that.
Well, sounds like TPC Sawgrass, man. What are you saying?
Yeah. Golf is just getting kind of crazy expensive.
Well, it is, except in Ireland, it's not not that bad.
No?
A lot of the courses, well, when McIlroy was growing up, of course, $300 to be a member, per year.
Yeah, I mean, $300 like to be that. A member, not just play. Be a member?
Be a member, and then you just pay to play. But yeah, I like Royal Port Rush. RPR is cool beans, and it's going to be fun this week. I can't wait to. I don't know if Stanky has played that course or not.
Yeah, we'll find out if he has. Yeah. I don't know if he has either.
But it's going to be different. It's going to be a lot different. Yeah. We'll talk more about it later. But last week at Renaissance, the Renaissance Club.
Yeah.
Well, they were working on putts, and Scotty was just perplexed, as you saw. He just would look at every putt and just shrug his shoulders and throw his hands up and go, I don't know what a break that was. Right. Well, they were playing the edges of the cup last week. They're not going to be playing the edges on this golf course. This golf course has some undulation on these greens, so they're going to be playing it outside of the cup. So it's going to be really, really fun to watch these big breaking, sweeping putts, trying to drop them in.
I'll be honest with you, and I guess this is part of the reason, as I was explaining, that I was going to and now haven't and will still go on with never playing in Scotland, Ireland, any of those courses. I'm not that fascinated with it, to be honest with you. A lot of people are gaga about, you got to go and you got to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm going, okay, because of the tradition. But I look at those courses and have no love for that kind of golf going, that just, because it looks like there should be goats out there.
There are.
In the middle of the field.
There are.
They should be chomping on grass.
That's exactly.
You would never play that golf course in the U.S., and you certainly wouldn't go.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, let me pay $400 to play on that.
Wait a minute. Come to Nashville. Come over for a visit. I'll take you out, too. It's a public course, too. Hermitage yeah. Golf Links here in golf course here. Two courses. They used to play the Sara Lee Classic on the LPGA Tour there every year, and they did some senior LPGA stuff there. The president, it's the general's retreat and the president's reserve. And on the president's reserve, the owner went and got the black-faced sheep and houses them, and they roam all over the course. It's just a really neat experience. No, it's cool.
Is the course in good shape?
Oh, fabulous. It is honestly one of the best golf courses of any in the state of Tennessee. And either private or not private. And it is not
a
private.
Wild sheep don't mess up the grasses?
No. He has them roaming up and down the hills, and it's pretty. Yeah. It's really a cool experience. Okay. It really is, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that in the sense of I look at it and go, okay, there's nothing visual, and I get that there's tradition to it, but that doesn't fascinate me as much. I would go play, and I was going to go play until my friend's schedule changed up, but it was more just to say, I'm over there. I've never made a special trip like so many people do with their buddies and everything else. Again, if somebody else set it up for me, I'm not doing it myself, though. Let me schedule this and let me make sure I got the airfare and I got a hotel. I don't want to do all that crap and go play these courses that, A, look like goat pastures to me, B, and I know I'm killing traditionalists here.
Here you go, B, goat track Tim here live.
The weather is always iffy at best. Right? Like, let me pay all this money to go and maybe you get some sunshine, but there's a really good chance you're going to get some sideways rain and you're going to go play no matter what anyway. I don't look at that and go, boy, when can I go? So I haven't. And there you go. So at some point I will. Royal Portrush. I saw they did a little preview. I watched yesterday.
Beautiful.
Looked nicer than what we saw at the Scottish Open.
Scottish Open looked horrible
to me, Frank. I'm just saying. It was brown. Yeah. And you could only tell the green because it was a little bit greener.
Looked a lot like Chambers Bay for the Open, the U.S.
Yes,
Open.
It kind of did. Yeah. You know, and I get it for a different kind of thing. Okay, if that's what you're looking for, I get that. But it's a different golf game, as we all know, the ones that follow it, even if I haven't played there, that you can't go right at pins because it'll bounce at the pin and go 70 yards over the green.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So you've got to play it short of the green, let it roll up. Let the greens kind of undulation up. So it's a very unique way of playing golf. And Scotty and the boys that aren't used to playing over there in Europe very much have to get that down. Get Tom Watson. I mean, there've been great Americans that have obviously figured it out, but it's a different kind of golf.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It's you play it on the ground over there and you play it in the air here.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun this week.
I mean, they'll figure it out. It's not like it's impossible to do, but it is, it's got to be a bit different to say, okay, how far to the pin? 185. How far should I hit it?
120.
And you're like, okay, tell me that again. And you're like, and keep it low, and the wind's coming
and
in.
And try to avoid those bunkers, the pop bunkers and things,
Well, that's the other thing off the tee, right? And Rory was referring to that after his practice round yesterday. Rory said, you know what, at Royal Portrush, everybody's going to be hitting something different. You might have a threesome and might have one guy with a three or four iron, one guy with a driver, and one guy with a hybrid. All hitting different shots, and some might even hit a six iron to just play short. Like, remember Tiger years and years ago, I can't remember which course, but he played everything so short to not even come close to those bunkers, which, of course, are strategically positioned
smart play.
For a rollout to go. But he had a lot of 210-yard approach shots.
Was that another Carnoustie guy, when he did that?
Was that Carnoustie?
I think so.
And he won.
Yeah.
I mean, he won.
Yeah,
He strategically would hit seven irons when guys are hitting drivers.
Yeah.
It'd be like, okay.
Well, they have to. You have to. I mean, it really tests your ability to envision the shot and manufacture something. It's cool. Well, it's cool golf.
And the rollout is significant, right? So you might hit a shot.
God, yeah.
Like
it's
a
ridiculous.
Lot of guys, you bend down and pick up your tee, like, oh, that's right down the middle. That's great.
Yeah,
and then the camera picks it up, and it's rolling, and it's rolling.
Now, they're using, by the way, you said camera. They're using a really cool camera that they use on the NFL games to get some tight shots around the greens. I'm waiting to see the first person that clobbers that thing, brings it in and with a high, you know, high shot and hits it. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
But it is a cool shot. Now
it's a cool shot. Yeah.
Here's my last rip on the British Open.
Okay.
If I might, is the camera work.
Go ahead. Get them. Oh God. Oh, don't even get me started.
You, me, and my
grandmother. Those guys are blind. They're drunk. I'm convinced they're all drunk.
They have to be.
They have to be.
They take the widest shot possible. You see the
Do you see the ball? I don't see the ball.
You see the curvature of the earth. It's such a wide shot. And then somewhere they go to the green, and you're like, and where's the ball again? You're like, I don't know. Somewhere over in that big shot I got here.
We're going to break over here to Darren Clark commentating on number 7. Yeah, that's a good shot.
I mean, I was watching with my wife.
Sorry, Darren, just kidding. Open.
I was watching the Scottish Open with my wife a little bit. I said, just watch this camera. So she's watching, right? Doesn't really care one way or the other. And the guy hits a shot, and they focus on it for about the first 50 yards off the tee, right? And then they widen out.
And you can't see it.
And then they kind of zoom back towards the green.
Trying to find it.
And my wife goes, where's the ball? I go, nobody knows. We all just sit there going, is he putting? Is he chipping?
Yeah.
I don't have
Who
a
knows?
Clue. I have no idea where that ball went to.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they haven't in this amount of time. I thought, you know what? Maybe they're just not used to American TV where you got to focus on the baseball, and they get real tight on the seat.
We have sobriety tests for the cameramen before they go to
like
work.
It's just like they're all having cocktails.
They are. They do.
You've
not been there. Trust me. It is. It's a Glenn Levitt, Glenn Fittich, or McAllen Fest over there.
Yeah.
You know, or all of the above. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not, again, I know I'm sounding like a grumpy old man. I'm trying to do that. For anybody. I'm still going to be watching as much as I can, even though I won't be watching. I'll be in a different country, but I'll watch as much as I can.
You'll watch some of it. You'll watch it on a plane.
I think on Saturday, Sunday, I'll be traveling almost all Saturday. So I'm going to miss that. Sunday, I'll be around.
You'll be able to watch it on a plane, won't you?
I'll be in Athens. I think I will. I guess so. Yeah, you'll get live TV.
Check it out. Contact the airline or whatever. Check that out. Get you set up before you go. Because once you get there,
they're so cooperative with you as a flyer.
They're wonderful.
Like, get in your seat. Shut up.
Not even that. It's like the pilot's going, whoops, that was an near miss. We had one here in Nashville this week. Two almost collided on the damn runway.
It's like they're so restrictive of what they will let you do.
I actually have
a laptop. I also have an iPad, right?
Yeah.
Somehow, Frank, you tell me. iPads, you can keep that going from takeoff on takeoff and no problem. If you have a laptop, somehow that mysterious technology that's from the ancient gods will ruin their takeoff. So you have to close your laptop. iPad, you can keep open, but your laptop. You know what she said to me the last trip? I went to Chicago for my grandson's christening. I have my iPad out thinking, well, I got it. So I can watch my little movie here. I'm already going. She goes, sir, yeah, you're going to, I go, no, it's an iPad. She goes, but you have a keyboard. You have to get rid of the keyboard. I had to disconnect my keyboard.
Oh, it was the Bluetooth connectivity.
Oh, my God.
That's what it was. The Bluetooth connectivity. Maybe that's it. We don't know. Maybe we'll get a technical person on here.
I'm telling you. I don't care.
Like,
what else you want to come up with?
I could care less.
Here's the thing. I
keep mine on. I keep my phone on. Everything.
I always do, too. We would fly, and I just call BS on it. I'm not trying to crash
the
plane.
I do, too.
But, I mean, it's like I would fly on Cowboy charters, right? Years ago, going back in the 90s.
Dallas Cowboys, the football team, right?
Rodeo guys.
Oh, you're flying with them, yeah.
Yeah, so we're flying with them on a regular American Airlines. It was a charter, but it's a big 737, whatever it was, right? And they never said one thing about any technology before takeoff. It was like,
because they wanted the Cowboys to go down.
Put both hands on your beers while we take off. That was about the only rule they had. People were standing in the aisles. Guys were talking, playing poker. People are on iPads. Writers for the newspapers and stuff are writing an article. Everybody's doing everything. Not a word. Nobody said it. And I'm kind of thinking that might be a big deal if it was literally going to cause a plane to have issues. the Dallas Cowboys going down would be the last thing American Airlines wants, right? They don't want any plane to go down, but they certainly don't want America's team to go down and all the bad
on America's airline.
On American Airlines. And yet, not a word. Somehow you get on a plane from Dallas to Chicago, and there's 73 different warnings they have to give you.
Yeah,
shut
yeah.
this off, turn this off, do this. And you're like, okay, really? Do we need to do that? Or you just, so?
Sorry, we have a commentator in the background. I apologize. I'm babysitting the dog today. So.
Well, go ahead. You do that because we're going to take a break anyway. Paul Stankowski is going to be joining us. He's on his way to physical therapy. So we'll be joining somewhere on a highway in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. So let's take a quick break. And guy who played really, really well last week.
Another top 10. Dick's.
At Dick's, yeah. Had a great tournament at Dick's Championship.
Yes, sir.
And Paul Stankowski will be joining us. So stick around. You're listening to Golf Talk America. Frank and I and Paul will be back right after this.
I'm here to get a fitting with my new PXG driver. You've got to have the club fitted to your style.
It's important for your swing.
Dead straight. So, what do you say?
I'm going to add 20 grams in the heel.
Give me a little bit more hook.
I'm going to go to the 12 and a half gram, which will allow it to be more draw biased.
Oh, yes. Definitely more draw. That's the beauty that PXG can do for you. We will adjust your clubs to suit you.
Book your fitting now at PXG.com. PXG, you've never played like this before.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. And as we had promised, our Mr. Golf, Mr. PGA Tour Champions, a top 10 finish, tied for ninth at Dick's Championship last week. And joining us now, Paul Stankowski with us on his way to physical therapy. Stanky, how you doing? Haven't talked to you in a while. You doing good?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Great to be home. Great to sleep in my own bed, wake up, do my yard, you know, now back to my Cairo and to my trainer and to the golf course. So I had my day off. Time to get back to work.
You had a good tournament last week at the at Dick's, as we said, and shot 10 under par and got your tie for ninth, and
yeah,
a couple of 68s and a 70 thrown in there. You moved up in the Schwab Cup and everything else. So overall, season wise, you happy with where you're at? Where your game's at?
I am very encouraged. You know, the year started off great with, I think I finished fourth, my first event of the year. And then it just kind of petered out and, I had just a lot of mediocre golf but you know, all the while encouraged, you know, I spent the off season making some changes, equipment changes, swing changes, shot shape changes, hired a trainer, so body changes, and so I knew it was going to be a process, and you know, I'm still not there yet. Statistically, ball striking this year has been down a little bit from the normal, but I do like the things that I've been doing to, you know, hopefully bring more consistency. But in the meantime, it hasn't been as consistent. But the last 2 weeks at the Open and the U.S. Open and the Dick's Open, I putted better. And obviously, you guys know that guys who putt the best usually are the ones who are have a chance to win. And, you know, I'm normally a middle of the road to, you know, below average statistical putter. We don't have all the fancy stats on our tour. We just have putts per green and regulation. You know, there is no, I still don't understand strokes gained, but I thought you made a putt, you gained a stroke. So our stats are just basically, if you hit a green in regulation and they count them up you know, I'm usually in the 40s and 50s during the week. So the last couple of weeks I was in the top 10, I think I was fifth last week in that category. And you know, it never hurts. I all the years I've played golf, it never hurts when you make putts, you know?
Yeah,
never does. Yeah, it makes up a lot of mistakes too, doesn't it?
Speaking of that, last week at the Scottish, Scottie Scheffler was a little frustrated. He was playing left lip, right lip, back lip. I mean, he couldn't make a putt and he was going crazy. Have you played?
Well, I saw one of those clips, and my son showed it to me of him kind of looking at it, hands up. But, you know, you play golf over there, and, you know, that type of golf, the greens, we're so spoiled here in America, especially,
oh, yeah. Thank you.
You know, we're spoiled. We're professional golfers playing the top tours are spoiled because the golf courses are in perfect condition. The greens are like pool tables for the most part. And you go across the pond and it's just not the same. And they're usually, you remember, you know, all those years, Tiger always complaining. Well, not really complaining, just stating the fact that I couldn't get my speed down, right? Because the greens are slower and
bumpy.
There's a little more wiggle to them. It's, you know, mostly seaside poana or whatever type of grass. And so anyway, yeah, it could be a little bit confusing and frustrating. And it seemed like it got the best of Scotty. But you know what? Boy, like we're talking about how I had a good week and I finished ninth. And then he finishes ninth and it's like the end of the world. You know, the way we talk about it. So it's like I would love to have his crappy weeks.
Well, I don't know if you played RPR or not, Royal Port Rush, I should say. Have you played that course?
Have you played there?
I have never played there. No.
Okay. I played it once in my life, and it was incredibly difficult. The greens, because it's not like last week. You're not going to be playing it on the right edge or the left edge. You're going to be playing it a foot out or 2 feet out to the right or the left.
Oh, there's that much slope going.
Yeah, there's a lot of slope on those puppies. So I'm anxious to see Scotty in a couple of practice rounds. It's going to be great.
Well, everybody says, you know, that the only way the rest of the field can come close to Scotty as well as he's been playing literally for 2 or 3 years now.
If he's not
putting great.
Yeah.
Right. If his putting is so-so, like at the Masters or anywhere else, then everybody else has a chance. If his putting is even good to great, nobody stands a chance. And so we'll see if that holds up for this week. Now you have played over there at different tournaments, British Opens and things. Are you going to play at the Handa Senior Open? That's your next event on the Champions Tour in Berkshire, England. Are you going over for that?
We are, yes. Okay. Fortunately, we played there in 21, and my son went over that year and caddied for me, and it was a blast. I missed the cut. I had a horrendous – I shot 9 over on my third 9. I was kind of in the mix. I'd say I was probably 4 or 5 shots maybe back after 27 holes, and I literally shot 9 over. And I don't know if I made a par. I think I made 9. It was terrible. And so he says, "Dad, we have unfinished business." I was kind of on the fence as to whether or not I was going to go a month ago, and I had already booked tickets. We're just past the middle of our season, and you know, after the British, we have a week off, and then we have 10 out of 12 weeks, and that's a lot of golf.
Ooh,
for this old guy. And I did it last year, and I went over to Carnoustie, and that was an amazing experience. And that golf course is so hard and so good.
Oh God!
But at the end of the year, I was so gassed that. Like my body hurt. It was the worst I'd felt since playing professional golf, and my game suffered. I didn't play well at all at the end of the year. And so this year, I was thinking, you know, I hadn't had a very good season up till the last few weeks, you know, I was almost 50th in Schwab Cup points, and you know, top 36 is the goal. So I was really finding myself well behind where I needed to be. And so I was starting to think about the end of the year and thought, well, maybe I'll just take the Open off and have 3 weeks at home to kind of rest up for the home stretch. But you know, playing well the last 2 weeks, top tens at the Open and last week, it's put me now inside the number in a much better position. And it's the Open. You know, I didn't play a couple years ago, but we played at in Wales. I didn't know anything about the golf course. I just heard that the weather could be terrible. So I thought, nah, I'm not going to go. And lo and behold, when I turned the TV on Thursday morning and I'm watching the tournament and I see the logo and the Open Championship, Senior Open, and I'm like, what a knucklehead. You know, like I've grinded so hard to, you know, I'm not an exempt player. I don't have enough career money or career wins to be exempt and play whenever I choose. So I've had to grind, and I'm fortunate enough to have played well enough to get myself in a great position to get in most weeks. And that year I was exempt and I didn't go, and I felt dirty. I literally felt like, you're like, what are you doing? Like, you've grinded and now you're in and it's a major and you're like, man, I want to go. It's going to be bad weather. You know, I was like, that's so dumb. So I was considering not because of the weather, but just because of the end of the year. I was looking at the big scope of things, and but that all changed a couple weeks ago. So we're going over, my son and I, he's back on the bag. He's on the bag all year. And so we're leaving Saturday night, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's Sunningdale is an amazing golf course. So good. It's not Linksy. It's a traditional golf course. And it's beautiful. It's hard. It's demanding off the tee. It's not like it's super narrow, but there seems to be two bunkers on every hole, one right, one left, and they're 6 feet deep. It's like auto pitch out kind of deal. It's good. I'm looking forward to it. There again, the greens are slower. And on that note, you know, it's putting slow greens or greens slower than we're used to putting. It's not just about, I can't get it to the hole. It's finding the right lines, right? Because we're so ingrained. Most of the weeks out there, it's, you know, we're putting on greens that between 11 and a half and 12 and a half, you know, so 12 on the stimp meter, and it's pretty consistent. And so you have a 15-foot putt that you're like, this is two cups out, you know, the speed it's breaking, you know, the fall, then you're putting on greens that are slower and you don't have to play as much break. And so it's hard to adjust in such a short amount of time when you're used to, for the last 2, 4, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you're putting fast greens, and all of a sudden you pump the brakes and slow. So it is difficult. But it's difficult for all. And I think the advantage goes maybe to in an open championship, you may have a little more advantage to that player who maybe is on the DP Tour, or in our case, you know, on the Legends Tour, or somebody who plays more abroad on slower surfaces may have a little bit of an edge because they're used to putting slower greens. And I don't know. That's just my take, but yeah. I don't care. Slow, fast, just put me in, coach.
We're talking with Paul Stankowski for the PGA Tour champions. And so I'm curious, Frank and I were talking before you joined us about the difference in playing links courses over there versus where you play here. You just mentioned one of the big differences, which is the speed of the greens and the condition of the greens. Would the other difference be like approach shots, when you're hitting an approach shot into these greens at a links course, that you're not flying it at the pin because they'll never hold right at those pins, that you have to play it even short of the green sometimes, which could be a 30 or 40 yards short of where you normally would hit it. Is that, to me, it seems like it would be difficult to get that down, about really playing it short all the time and playing the ball to run and to run out. Is that the other big difference you think when you play over there at the links courses?
100% it can be, right? But here's the thing. Guys are so good at landing or hitting the ball where they want it to land, right? Even on the PGA Tour, you're not always firing at pins, and you're not trying to land it. If it's 147, you're not trying to hit it 147. Depends on the firmness of the greens or the softness of the greens, right? So these guys are so dialed in with their, you know, track bands and their GC quads and their flight scopes. So it's really a strategy, right? If you got two green players that come out that show up to a link style golf course, and they show up on Tuesday thinking they'll play one practice round and figure it out, caddy doesn't know, player doesn't know, they're going to have a hard time, right?
Yeah.
Like, you really need to know. Like, at Carnoustie, blew my mind. I had a local caddy, and he was great. He would tell me, hey, you got to land this thing, you know, 32 yards short of the green. And I'm like, what planet are you on? Like, I can't do that. Right? He's like, trust me, just hit it. We got 168 front. You want to hit this thing 136. And I'm like, wow. And it's hard to think. And I'm looking at the book, and I see where I got to land it. And I'm like, okay. But sure enough, I'm like, nah, I'm going to land on the front. Yeah, I'm 10 yards over the green, right? So
yeah,
it's a strategy. And honestly, the guys who really you've got to go over early. Some players will actually hire a local caddy to go along with them, like not to carry the bag, but they'll pay them whatever they want to pay. It's invaluable, right? So I don't know if Ted and Scotty did this, but here's this scenario. They could say, hey, we need one of your good caddies, and we're going to pay him $5,000, whatever. Yeah. We'll pay him $100, $500. Come out, and he'll just kind of work you on lines. This is where this is the line here. And that way it helps because they'll figure it out eventually. But sometimes you might need to play 5 or 6 rounds of golf to really kind of understand the course. And one day the wind's blowing out of the south. The next day it's out of the north. The next day it's out of the west and out of the east. And it plays completely different in any direction. Usually golf courses, unless it's you get a ton of rain, will dry up as the week goes on. And so they play different. So it's not as easy as it is playing here in the U.S. where, you know, like you said, you fly it up onto the putting surface and the ball takes one hop and stops and it's, it makes them look like geniuses. But out there, you know, the ball, you land it 10 yards short of the green because you have to, but there's a little freaking knob the size of a basketball right there in the middle and it hits that and kicks it right into the rough. And now that's what you get with links golf. So you got to have mental fortitude, amazing amount of patience. You can't, if you lose your cool early, you're going to shoot 80. It's really a battle of attrition. And I love turning on the TV Thursday morning early, getting a cup of coffee and watching those boys, especially when those flags are standing straight out.
I know. That's so much fun to see those guys struggling. Again, we're talking with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour champions, and going to get physically fit in his workout this morning and coming off a very good tournament at Dick's and looking forward to his next tournament. Yep. Coming up, the Handa Senior Open in Berkshire, England, that should be an awful lot of fun. I don't know, you got things going on, so we're not going to try to keep you too much longer, Paul.
Stanky, are you going to see Dr. Freeze today? Is that what you're going for? The tank?
Dr. Freeze, who's that?
Dr. Freeze, the cryo tank.
Oh, cryo, I don't do cryotherapy. I've done it. It's just cold.
Yeah, it is.
All your clothes off and go stand in. Like,
the fire's really hot.
If I take my clothes off, I want something warm next to me, okay? That's it.
I know, jump in a hot tub.
Yeah,
I've done it, and it's great. I my wife bought me an ice bath, a portable ice bath for Christmas, and I'll bring it out occasionally, and I used it a couple times last week, and it is great. It is great. But no, I'm seeing Corey, my chiro, at Van Beezen's place here in Dallas. Right, yeah. Chiro sports specialist. I work with Corey mostly, and then he'll work on me for 40 minutes, and then I've got Shannon, my trainer, I'll tell you what, guys, I've had trainers in the past, and my body, I never recovered very well from a workout. And so I paid a lot of money to get really sore and never feel good. And that really sucked.
That sounds like
but
marriage.
This time around, it's amazing. Well, I got a great marriage.
Yeah, me awesome too. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
And as far as my trainer goes, I am so excited. I went into this in November. My hips and low back were awful. I felt like literally like my 80-year-old dad. At the end of his life, getting up out of a chair and watching him walk. And that's how I felt. Literally I hurt. And I told my wife, I got emotional at the end of the year. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. There's no chance I'm going to be able to play, beyond this next year. If I feel like this, I don't want to. And so she's like, well, get some help. And so I did. And, Shannon at Chiro Sport the stuff we did, guys, it wasn't fancy. It was a lot of just not even stretching. Really weights, just isolating, trying to work it on my, not stretching, just try, well, a little bit of movements, but really working on my lower body stability, getting my glutes and my legs underneath me again. And so a lot of, I can't explain it, but I get done with the workout and I'm like, seriously, that's all we're doing? you know, in my head. Because it just felt, it felt like we were doing nothing. But after a month, I was like, wait a minute. My body's starting to feel good. Then another month, I'm thinking, oh, my word. Like, after 2 months, I thought, I haven't felt this good in 20 years. And and so, you know, now we're, what is this, July? We're 7 months into this thing. And my, like, I get up out of a chair, and I'm instantly upright. I'm super excited. It, you know, I don't hit it any farther. I still have some of the aches that I, you know, I've always had in my mid back, but that's just, I think I arthritic and whatnot, but my hips and my low back haven't felt this good. I'm not, this isn't a commercial for ChiroSport, Corey and Shannon, but my team, I am so happy and thankful that I did this. And you know, I'm like, I can now, as I sit here, I'm like, if my game will hold up, I'm not worried about my body anymore. Like, I was totally convinced that my body was going to, like, it was going to be over really soon, because I felt like I was 80.
So you think you're like, you're barn hard longer now? Like, you'll be playing 10
years?
No,
heck no. I don't want to play 10 more years. I'm 50. I'll be 56 in December. I've said it, I'd love to get through the 26th season. If I can, if at the end of this year, I could be either exempt or like I was last year, which I'm going to get in everything but one event. I'm beyond grateful that I get to do this. I'm 55. I still get to hit a ball for a living. It is the craziest, coolest thing I could have ever imagined. And so if it ended tomorrow, I'm grateful. Yeah. But if I could play, I'd love to play next year. I'd love to compete against Tiger again, even if it's just one time. That was so cool. You know, I'm so thankful I got to play against the GOAT. And I got to play against both GOATs, you know. Jackets once or twice. But that was cool. And I didn't beat him very often. So it's not about winning. It's just about competing. And I'd love to see that again, right? And so that's my hope. I can play next year. And then beyond that, you know, my wife and I'll keep discussing it at the end of the years. And I don't particularly like being on the road. I love the travel aspect. I hate being gone, if that makes any sense. And I love being home, but I don't want to sit on my couch the whole time. So I've got to find something to do when I retire or when I'm forced out of the game, whichever comes first. And so I don't know. But right now, I'm grateful that, you know, I've gotten to do this for so long, and it's pretty darn cool, man.
Well, that beats it all. I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. And I'm glad you found the team to put it together to make you feel
absolutely
that way, because you're right. The physical part takes it out of you, but it also takes it out of you mentally, right? Because you're always worried and thinking about how much my back hurts, right? And so it kind of emotionally gets you down too. You know, it's not just the physical part that can, can
no, bring you down. You're absolutely right. And I know there's a lot of listeners out there that feel the way I felt, right? And that hurts. And they think, wow, golf's tough on your body. I'm like, yeah, it is tough on your body. And especially if you're not doing anything, which is what I did. I in my life, and even in golf, I've grinded a lot since I turned 50. But early in my career, I wasn't a grinder. I loved to play, but I didn't like to practice. And Now when I'm home, I don't play much. I just hit a lot of balls, but I'm working specifically on a few things. And you know, but the physical part, the back, the hips, aside from having injuries, if you're just sore, you're probably underdeveloped. You know, you're probably not strong enough. And so that was me, you know, and I'm not saying I'm a specimen now. My legs are just stronger. My glutes actually work, you know, they're activated. and there's a support mechanism below my waist that I didn't have for so long, probably even early in my career, but which took its toll on my mid back, you know? And so I'm hoping that as I continue to do these workouts and continue to move, that maybe the mid back will continue to get better. You know, like we're starting with the ground up, and we really haven't gotten too much above the belly button. So But it's fun at 55. Like I know I've said it already, but it's the coolest thing. And I feel like I've got new life as a quote unquote athlete, golfer, whatever. But even beyond playing, you know, I'm going to have to keep doing these things because I want to be able to move. Hopefully someday God blesses us with grandkids and want to be an active granddad and not bound to a chair. So anyway, it's cool. I love talking with you guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
Good friends for a long time. So
yeah, we appreciate that.
Thanks for letting me be on.
You know, you can hear the excitement in your voice, Paul. I really can. I'm sitting here listening to you and I was being very quiet, which is not normal for me. And I was just listening to the excitement in your voice, and that gets me excited to go out and maybe find somebody to work with again. I used to do that too, but I've gotten way away from it. And I need to do that because at my age, which I'm a little older than you, I really need that because I need to work on my balance and keep that lower body in position, you know, and because of ball striking it, you know, the older you get.
Yeah.
I don't want to hit in front or behind. I'd really like to hit the ball first for a change. You know, I think it would make a big difference in my enjoyment of the game.
Well, you know what I would encourage you to do then? I you're in Nashville. I'd encourage you to find a trainer there that's TPI certified.
Yeah.
Greg Rose is and David at TPI. I've known Greg since he was in chiropractic school. I used to stay with his family at the Kemper. And Greg and his brother Mark would come home from college, and they'd bring their buddies. They had a huge house there at TPC Avenel, and I stayed at their house, and it was fun. Played poker all night. Anyway, he would bring his chiro friends, and so I've known him for a long time. Super smart, way ahead of the game. And what they've done there at TPI, there again, not a plug. I've never been to TPI, but I know Greg, and I know what they've done through their training programs and you find someone TPI certified, you know, they're going to be working with you on the right things, the way the body's supposed to move. And that's pretty cool. It doesn't necessarily have to be golf specific. There's a lot of these TPIs, it's athletic movements, right? But if you don't have lower body stability or upper body mobility, you're going to have a hard time rotating and swinging the golf club with any power and consistency. So anyway, that's my two cents there. But you know, it's funny. I know we're rambling. I'm a rambler. I should write a song about it. But
I think somebody already has.
I have my son. Oh, that's right. Dang it. I'm always late. But my son's caddying for me, right? So it's been a lot of fun as a dad. You know, I feel like I'm a mentor to my son a little
bit. That's cool. That's cool.
You know, we're working together. You know, he keeps me accountable with trying not to be an idiot out there. And so last week, you know, Josh is a sports fan. You guys will love this, right? Love sports. Huge Rangers, bigger Stars fan, Cowboys fan, Mavs, right? And when the teams are going good, man, he is on fire. He's got a pep in his step. And when they're not, he gets really down, right? Really down, really kind of quiet. So same thing goes when he's caddying for dad. when dad's playing well, there's a pep in his step. He's like, hey, can I get you a water? Can I, you know, whatever. And then when I'm not, it's just kind of quiet. And I can see the look on his face. So it happened at the Open. We're playing with Miguel on Sunday. And he's playing great. He's 5 or 6 under par. And I was like, I think I was 1 over, 2 over or something and not making any birdies. And I look over, I'm like, what's up? He's like, I'd really like you to make a birdie. Right. And I've got like a 50 foot putt down 10 feet of break. And I'm like, I'd really like to just two putt this. And I said, Josh, let's keep controlling the controllables. Right. Let's just keep focusing on one at a time. And he's like, but Miguel's doing it. He's put on a master class over here on how to make putt. And I'm like, I get it. He's the best player out here. Let's just stick to our guns. Right. So that was the deal. And we ended up making I two putted, made some pars, birdied 17 and you know, had a good finish, right? We didn't win, but it was a good finish, and he got a good payday. So last week, same thing goes. We're on Sunday. You know, the first 2 days, I birdied the first 3 holes right out of the gate on Friday and Saturday. And I think I turned it 4 under one day and 3 under one day. And And the last day, I par the first three holes, bogey the fifth hole. So I'm one over early. And he has that same look on his face. And I'm like, come on, man, let's just keep plugging. Let's keep plugging. So then we get to about 14. He's like, all right, let's run the table. And I said, Joshua, I said, let's just keep hitting quality golf shots and give ourselves some chances. Again, let's control the controls. And he's like, I get it. So we get to, I make a couple pars. I make a birdie at 15. 16's drivable, right? It's a drivable par four. And I've got to hit a really good one to get there. I go, all right, I go, that'd be good. We could knock it on, make an ace here. And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, how about we just hit a good shot? And I'm like, I love it. So like, this is what I get to do, man. And that made me so proud of him that he didn't get sucked up into my thinking ahead. Like, he was thinking ahead. He's like, let's just hit a good shot. And I'm like, I love it, buddy. And he's had a big smile. So that's what I get to experience. It's so much fun. He's 25. There's some wisdom that he's gleaning toward me, and it's a, yeah, you know, we're a good team, and I love having him out there. But I thought you guys would like that story. It's fun. So,
yeah.
More than just golf.
Hey, buddy, safe travels across the pond, and we will be watching you and saying a prayer or two for you. So take care of yourself.
Have fun.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Enjoy it. And I just want to make sure that people know that the philosophies of Paul Stankowski, when you listen to him, he has a lot of wisdom that he'll throw at us, as you just heard. And that's the beauty of having Paul on here. Yep. I think I'm going to leave you with probably his most wisdom that he's ever spouted, which is, when talking about cryo, he said, you know what?
It's really cold.
And that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know about cryo.
That's all you get. It's really cool. Take care, Stank. We appreciate it.
See you, fellas.
Thanks, buddy. Fine. See ya.
It's really cold.
It's really cold.
That cryo thing is really cold.
How good is that?
He's
getting very introspective in his age. Yeah, I really like
that. You do, right? You kind of hit that midlife area.
Well, he's always been a good guy. I mean, he has always been one of the good guys, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But talking about his family and all that, I mean, I love that. Great stories.
You just get the feeling he was raised right, right?
You think? Yeah.
Good parenting and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that, you know, made him realize he's blessed to do what he's doing and to be able to play golf and have a family and all those things. And
I mean, and you and I are pretty blessed to get to do what we've done in life, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean,
just to have this
your career, my
podcast.
Career, and then doing this award-winning podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun.
Can't beat it. Now I just got to go get somebody to work on my back.
Yeah, you need to do that. Why don't you just make a quick phone call when we take a break?
Just be right behind him.
Yeah, just
whatever
next.
They do to him,
next.
Just say, can you just do that for me?
Can you fix my back? But I meant that. I need to get back in it. You know, my wife.
It's probably not a bad.
It, so.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea. But you got to put time aside, like everything else, right? And say, okay, I'm going to go twice a week or whatever, and go have somebody work on you for an hour, and it would probably it's a small little thing at times, right? It doesn't, like, the next day you're not miraculously back to being 25 years old, but
over time,
like you said, it took, you know, month, two months, 3 months, and you're like, wow, I really feel, and that's kind of the key, right? Because none of us want to be, I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way, but none of us want to be our grandfather who, as he said, had a hard time, or his dad, getting out of a chair.
Getting out of the
chair,
you
don't want to be that, right? You kind of want to be that young forever 85-year-old guy that somehow you're like, God, he doesn't act like he's 85. I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, it jumps out of a chair and does all the things you want to do. So it's probably not a bad idea. Stay in shape.
I think so.
Don't get too far out of shape.
We're gonna spend some time watching the Open. You're gonna hop a flight to Greece but check it out first before you get to the airport to see what you need to do so you can watch it on
trip. I should be able to watch on almost every flight now has, you know, the monitors and the headrest in front of you. It used to be that was kind of a rarity or only bigger flights and stuff like that, but it's kind
and
of
the
like
USB,
flight, so.
USB charger and the arm and all that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I should be able to have it and watch it on my laptop or whatever. So the time difference. I take off there. What,
Greece,
seven hours ahead of us, right?
Yeah. Seven.
No, but I'm saying the British Open, like on Saturday.
Yeah. Seven.
I take off at noon. They'll already be finished almost. So I could probably watch the first round before I even take off. Right.
Well, you can probably watch the first round and the delay you're going to have to get on the flight.
You never know. Yeah.
Well, don't forget, go out and get you one of those little battery packs and hide it in your pocket.
Yes. Yeah.
Carry that with you. Keep it going. Anyway. All right.
Why don't you do it? That was a good show. By the way, news here. I mean, people have noticed here in Texas, people have noticed that a lot of golfers have Veritex Bank on their bags. Scottie Scheffler does.
Yeah.
A lot of different guys do. Jordan Spieth does. Paul Stankowski does too. Veritex Bank just was announced. We're sold to another bank. I don't know if that's going to affect sponsorship or not, but we'll see. Next time we talk to Paul, we'll see if Veritex is still going to stick around. I guess they will.
Hey, and a quick statement. God bless the families and the loved ones.
Yes.
Everybody that is dealing with the situation we have on the Guadalupe, up and down the Guadalupe.
All the flooding. Terrible.
God bless them.
All right. Check out pxg.com. Also, check out invitedclubs.com. Our great sponsors. We love them both. And get good golf clubs and a club to play them with your golf clubs at invitedclubs.com. Thanks again for listening. For Frank Bassett and Paul Stankowski, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. Remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.